So we are now in part three, chair three, however you want to look at it, of the sermon series. And we're excited because this is segueing into that holiday season. So, you know, November is going to be nothing but Thanksgiving. And so if we understand what chair we're in, hopefully we'll be more thankful what Jesus has done in us and through us, right, where he's pulled us from. But also to offset Thanksgiving, I've been studying and working through. We're actually going to be going through Revelation. It's going to be a quick summary of Revelation, but we're going to start get planted in Revelation. And so the night services is going to be focused on Revelation. The morning service is going to be focused on Thanksgiving. And we need about a 7-foot cross at some point. I'll get the wood. But we're going to be doing different things through the month of November. We're going to be laying down our thanksgiving and gratitude at the feet of the cross. So the foot of the cross. And so at the feet of Jesus. It's not that we only lay down our sufferings, but we need to lay down our thanksgivings too. And so we're going to have practical applications of sermons for thanksgiving and gratitude, which is going to be a unique environment, I think, for us, because it's going to challenge you all. Participation, to really think through what the sermon's talking about. Think about thanksgiving and gratitude. But today, we're going to focus on where we started. So to kind of summarize, we started with the seeker. We know this individual here is a non-believer, right? And so if they were to take their last breath, they're going to end up potentially in hell. And the reason why I say potentially is that I don't know their hearts truly, right? They might be saved and just confused. God knows the hearts, and God's going to separate the goats from the sheep, right? But based off of this model, hypothetically, they're going to go to hell. They're not saved. So we know the only way to eternity in heaven is through Jesus Christ, right? Then we know the acts of justification, what Jesus has done on the cross for us, that takes away that penalty of hell, that we're not freed from sin, but we're freed from the penalty of sin. We're still living a life that we're surrounded by sin until that day Jesus comes back. And then here we have the believer. And so this is where we kind of, Jesus kind of upped the ante saying, follow me, comma. So it's a two-part ante. The first part was follow me. And then there was a promise, right? And today we're going to focus on that promise. I didn't print it out. Is follow me, comma, I will make you fishers of men. Okay? And so sometimes we try to lump this all in together. And so today we're kind of look at the characteristics, since that's what we've done with each other one. And so here it's the seeker, the believer. Today's chair would be called the worker. Okay? And this actually has a significant shift, because we know that the person's a believer, right? We know the person's following Jesus, but they're moving past just that sitting back and listening and absorbing and trying to make sense of everything, right? They go to active serving. And so Matthew 4:19, I'm going to read, I didn't tell you to go to, is what we talked about last week. And he was talking, Jesus was talking to Peter and Andrew, and this is where he said, follow me, comma, I will make you fishers of men. And so here today, we're seeing this calling being fulfilled through Christ to the individual, okay? So we've walked with Christ, that we've seen him operate, and we've seen how he's handled situations. Now Jesus is going to kind of say, look, I'm going to make you uncomfortable. None of us like to be uncomfortable. We like our comfort zone, don't we? But now I'm going to send you out to rough areas that challenge your biases and your belief systems. I'm going to send you to places that you Jewish individuals say those are the scum of the earth, but yet those are the people I love. And so this here, becoming a worker, you're not working for yourself. You're working for the kingdom of God at this point. So everything that you do here is to glorify Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God, and the glory of God. It's not about how many followers that I have, or how many likes that I have, or how many people are coming to me. It's about where they're corresponding to back to the kingdom's work, or Jesus, and how they look at their Savior. And so we look at these workers. What's the ultimate goal of these workers? To share the gospel, right? To share the good news. You know, the Bible says it was called the way. You know, back then they didn't have this great thing called the New Testament. They were just letters. So these were individuals that are going in and saying, let me show you the way. The way to what? Eternity. To salvation through Jesus Christ. And we today, we call them the Gospels. And so we have more information put together, compiled, than they had back then, but yet that didn't stop them from going. And that shows us the power of Jesus in their lives, right? And so today we get this free gift of mercy and grace that we often take for granted and put on the back burner because we don't go. We don't go. We know the gospel. It's laid out in front of us. We have more ways to do it, but yet we're not. We stay stuck, complacent in pews or church chairs, and after that goes and it's over with, we go back to our normal life. And that's not what Jesus has called us to do. He's never called us to come from here to here to go back to being our picking up our nets like we talked about last week, right? He's challenged us to get us here, to get outside of ourselves, to get outside of where we have comfort in our identity that is of the world. If that's your job, if that's your family. And, you know, I see this all the time. Individuals will put on Facebook, the biggest blessing in my life is my child. You've missed it. Yes, children are a blessing. Rhodey, you're a blessing. Caden, you're a blessing, right? If he was here. Charlie, right? But they cannot be the biggest blessing. Jesus Christ has to fill that role. Because if we don't put Jesus Christ in that role, then guess what becomes our idol? Our child. And that's not fair to them. Because they're going to fail you. They're going to fall off that pedestal you put them on. So that way, Jesus Christ has to be the center of the biggest blessing that we've ever received. And then that's where we show gratitude for the other blessings that he's given us, right? And allowed us to be part of. Because as parents, what is our goal? It's to share the gospel with our children so they come back to him, right? And we know that kids go off to be prodigal sons and they do their things. And last night we heard Mr. Billy talk about rebellion. And then that shows you that sin is an act of force in the genetic makeup of who we are. It's been there from the dawn of time, right? That rebellion, like he said, started in heaven. So we're going to go through this, but what's powerful about what we do as parents and what Jesus was doing with these disciples is he was creating a foundation. He was creating a foundation for them. He was challenging their biases and what they thought they knew and what they needed to know, and it was only through action. And so Jesus called these disciples, and he invited them to follow him with a promise, and that's what Jesus always does. You know, if we look through the Bible, there's these promises, and some promises don't come with precepts, but then there's some promises that do come with precepts. And those precepts are saying, you got to give something away, right? You got to give that away before you're truly ever going to follow me. And that net, that boat, that father, whatever that looks like, right? You have to give that away. But then if we look at Matthew 9, 37 through 38, Jesus is talking about the need for this transition from a believer to a worker. And it says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field, into his harvest field. So harvest has a Lord over it, and that's God. He's God of all. But he's asking for us to go out. So Jesus is pointing out this critical need that many people today, even though we have social media, we have news outlets, there's so many people today that need to hear the gospel. There's so many people today that are ready to hear the gospel, but the workers are few to bring the message. Think about this. It was just a few disciples that expanded into 1,000, that expanded into millions, right? But yet, everything they've done has set the path, but what are we doing today for the ones closest to us? Do you all know what the Great Commission is? Right? So a lot of Christians, there was a poll that said 51% of active Christians sitting in the church does not know what the Great Commission is. So I'm going to challenge you. Look up. Know the Great Commission. Know that that's what he's called us to do, right? He called us to fulfill that. And so we all need to look at this. And so this is where the third chair comes into, and this is the worker stage. This is the point where the disciple begins to step into the work of ministry. Remember me talking prior? That you come here, and then they jump over to here, right? But then that's where we want to throw them into a committee. We want to throw them into a leadership role, a deacon role, right? But they haven't made it to the worker stage. So think about how they're not equipped for that role just yet. But there's a fine line, because Emily has said, hey, look, we're a chair two ministry. We have Christians that have been Christians for a long time that need to be educated, that need to follow someone to really live out the life that Christ was living. Because here, you've only been modeled LifeWay curriculums or corporate America church, but you've never been forced to serve, or you've never been listened to enough to know your own spiritual gifts or identify those things. You've watched a church system, but you haven't closely watched Jesus Christ, okay? And so here, we want to mimic and role model Jesus Christ in all that we do. That way, we prepare you. So why do you think, I keep saying, do you think you're ready to get up here and share a word? Or do you think you're ready to get up here and do announcements? I'm not saying this because I'm wanting to be lazy. I'm saying this because I see something in you that needs to be pushed, because at one moment in your life, you're going to eventually identify that this is a place you need to be. Because we're all called to be in this place. Look, I remember doing speech class in college. I was a wreck. I was a mess. I hated it. Every thought about public speaking, I hated. But there's a difference. But once you're standing in front of people like last night, and there's a hunger, and there's a draw from my heart to help these individuals, that I don't think I'm a prophetic speaker by no means, but I know my heart is compassionate and moved with compassion. What did Jesus' heart do to him? He was moved with compassion. And so that movement of compassion, I can't talk today, compassion eliminates the fear, because that love for that individual to know Jesus Christ is much greater. But until you stand here and challenge yourself, you're never going to know, okay? And so that's the same way with youngins. Like, look, step up and I want to see where you're at. We're going to challenge you to do this. We're going to challenge you to serve here. And this is what the church is supposed to be, is to take every individual through these chairs, right? So some of you need to sit here. Like, I kept thinking that last night. I kept hearing people talk, and the whole time they were talking to me, I was kind of assessing where they're at, right? I met a few here last night. Most of them were here, but they're wanting to be here. Does that make sense? And I would do them no good if I sit there and said, all right, do here. I need you to sit here and listen and watch. Because here is where you're going to start absorbing. But then we'll slowly get them here to the worker position. Because if I take them from here too quick, then they're going to be here, and they're going to have enough knowledge, enough education on the word, and they're going to be charismatic that they're eventually going to get swallowed up by pride. And it's all going to become about them versus the kingdom work. Does that make sense? It's going to look like kingdom work, but it's not in the end. It's going to be about their self-gain. When we see this, and we see this with TikTok ministry people, it starts off like they're really about the Word of God, then it turns into nothing but selling their T-shirts and their brands. That's sad. Because for me, online ministry usually doesn't cost a whole lot of money to do. Most of that stuff's fairly free in some ways. So what are you building? Are you building His kingdom, or are you building your brand? That's what you got to think about. So, but Jesus promises that He's going to equip the worker, and He equips them by following Him. Do what I do. Watch what I do. I'm going to show you the truth. I'll show you that I'm the way. But He's going to show them also by being intimate, spending time with them. Jesus lives and breathes with these individuals, doesn't he? And he's spending this quality time, and he's teaching them. He's showing them. He's showing them how to live, because here they're dead. Here they have to learn how to live, because here you're not living. The Bible tells us this is leading us to more death, spiritual death, but physical death. But here Jesus is showing you how to live, and it disrupts everything that you were born and raised to believe, right? So he's calling us to send us out. He does not call these disciples to hang on to him and to say, hey, this is my group of people forever, and look, you got to stay with me. He calls them out to send them out. So here we have to look at the system of what the church is operating as, is are we going out? We can look at altered, and we're going out because we're drawing people in. Does that make sense? These are people that are not part of a Sunday service. They're not part of anything. It's an outreach that is bringing them within. But think about the power of community. Like these individuals, what do you think they're going to go do? Some might use, but do you think their high is going to be the same? Most likely not. Are they going to go out and they're going to tell their other drug addict friends or people struggling with mental health or whatever it may be? Come check this out. Come and see. Right? See the power in the come and see. Those individuals showed up last night because someone said come and see with a little bit of authority. Right? But they did. Now that come and see comes naturally. Because guess what I kept hearing last night? We felt comfortable. That's huge, folks. That's huge, because when you walk through that door and you're walking in with all those burdens and all those things you're carrying on your shoulders, even to the point where you think that you're unlovable by God because you're too far gone past His grace, to walk in here and to be able to breathe and say, I'm comfortable here. Felt genuine. We know we're on the right path. And that should be something we all should be proud of as a ministry, right? Let's go to Luke 10, 1 through 3. So Jesus sends out 72 disciples. So the multiplication process is already happening, right? And he's sending out several individuals, and he says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Go. I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. That's reassuring, right? You know, what, Jesus? But when he repeats himself, and the Bible repeats itself, what do we have to take heart to? Something pretty powerful. We need to write it down. We need to make sure we're listening. So if Jesus is sitting saying the harvest is plentiful, then guess what? The harvest is plentiful. There's a lot of people that the Holy Spirit's prepping their hearts to receive a message maybe only God has for you ordained to give to them. Does that make sense? And if you falter and you fail, he's going to find someone else. So in my life, in my world, help me serve you, Lord. Help me be bold and courageous in the moments of the people that you've maybe put on that path for us, for me or you to share with, right? But then he says, the workers are few. So Jesus already knows that all the people that he's positioned their hearts to share the gospel, not going to show up. But then he tells the ones, they're like, I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. That's not a pretty picture, is it? But Jesus is saying here that you're no longer just learners. You're no longer just learners, that I've equipped you with what you need to serve. And so we could trust in Jesus. If we trust in Jesus with our salvation, we're going to trust in Jesus that he equips us, that he's going to be with us. He's never going to leave us nor forsake us, right? That he says he's going to be with us until the end. So all these fears and all these things that we have when it comes to proclaiming the message of the kingdom of God and the gospel, where does that lie? Are you trusting the enemy? Are you trusting your own doubts and thoughts more than trusting Jesus Christ, that he's going to equip you in that moment? You just need to go. And we're not going. We're too comfortable sitting in buildings and chairs and pews and small groups, that we're not going. So we have to shift, and this shift is crucial because we got to go from a learner to a worker. This is where discipleship turns into action, because discipleship without this is just discipleship in a coffee shop at 6 a.m. and no one's going. You're coming, but you're not going. You know, I've been meeting at 4:30 a.m. in a coffee shop, blah, 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 for years. But what have you done for the kingdom of God? Where have you shared the gospel? Where have you went to? Where did you go? And he's sending us where? To the harvest field. He's sending the worker to the harvest field because it's what? Ready for laborers. Could you imagine a farmer, and he planted all the seed, and he took all the care and spent all that money, and then he had no machines to harvest it? What would happen to all that wheat? It would go bad. It'd spoil. It'd have to be burned up. So let's replace that with the human soul. Think about this for a minute. God's prepped the harvest field to hear the gospel. But if we're not watering it with the living water that Jesus can provide, then we're just saying that's okay for those people to burn up. We cannot be like that. That we have to be active participants to sharing the good news to people, sharing the way with people, sharing Jesus Christ with the people. And he's calling us to be workers, to be part of this harvest. You want a blessing? He wants to use us. That's a blessing. You look at your life, me? Why me? Because you've been walking with him. You're transformed, you're redeemed, you're renewed. You're a new creation. And you should look more like Christ, that you can give the world, than the old you that was dead. Show, we're spectators. We buy tickets to go to a movie. We buy tickets to go watch our kids. We're spectators. But when these places, like let's say a baseball field, they say parents need to volunteer to help clean up, or band boosters, or whatever it is, the workers are few even there, right? So it's not just from a spiritual level, it's just anything. It seems like we're okay being spectators. We're comfortable being spectators. We're okay buying tickets. But see, Jesus flips the script, and he says there's no ticket to buy. You just have to repent and believe. The cost is on my end. The cost was my blood here, right? And so here we're sitting as spectators when we knew it cost the blood of Jesus Christ, and all we're doing is watching. I'm a believer, but you're not a follower. I love the band, but I'm not going to lift a finger to help them financially or physically. See where I'm going with this? So the people that's sitting here, yeah, they believe in Jesus Christ, and are they saved for eternity? For sure. They repented and believed, but they're not followers. We have to leave here today understanding that the cost of that ticket to be a spectator was the blood of Jesus Christ. That was God's Son that had to shed his blood for us. If you don't get anything from today, understand that we're not meant to sit here, because the longer we sit here, we profane the price it cost us to be there. Because he's asking us to go. And that going is getting outside of your comfort zone, getting outside of your belief system, getting outside of your fears, your doubts. What am I going to say? God will equip you. What am I going to do? What if they reject me? Then God's not calling them. Move on to the next one. Dust your sandals off. Make sure every speck of that dust on that traveled road is not on you. See what I'm saying? And so we have to make sure we go. And that going is going to come with a lot of rejection, because where are we going out to? The wolves, right? So today, the question would be, are you willing to be part of this harvest? Are you willing to be part of this harvest? Or are you wanting to stay in just the believer stage and the learning stage and never step into the role of the worker? See, Jesus called us to move beyond this passive learning stage into an active service. And guess what? When we get in that act of service, things change, perspectives change, doesn't it? going to that walk is one thing, but serving it is another, isn't it? That's the same thing with sharing the gospel and the good news. We get challenged when we're sharing the good news. Believing the good news, we're just spectators, right? And there's a lot learned. Emily, it's funny because Toby, I answered that question you asked me the other day. We were all sitting here together. That question came out of response of years and years of conversations. And years of me fighting with people, trying to fight with them to help them understand, but it went nowhere. But what God was doing on me through that moment of me thinking that, he was like, oh, that's cute. Look at John fighting. Oh, he's so cute. But I learned where my stance is. I learned that maybe that individual is not ready for the harvest. So I'm going to go to a different field. Right. Well, you know, but that's a good moment. The fact that she deleted it. Yeah. So when someone deletes a post like that, that's a good sign. That means they've been convicted. There's conviction there too. I guarantee you. Because if she's so adamant to blast, you know, that out there, she's probably looking at it differently. So my other question, too, is what gifts and talents has God given you to go out in the harvest field? We're not all, some of us are planters. Some of us do fertilize and keep the bugs away. And some of us may trim up and pull some weeds. It's just different things that we're called to do. But we're all serving the same field in that sense, right? So God, you know, he tells us in the Bible that we're all parts of the body. Yet the ear and the, they do different things. The nose and the ear does, but if you don't have a big toe, it throws, you know, your whole system's out of whack. So it's all important because it's a balancing act. And guess what? We have to be dependent on us to balance the body of Christ together, right? And so what talents do you have? What gifts do you have? And how are you using them? All of us here took an assessment. We know our spiritual gifts. Granted, that spiritual assessment is not 100% because it's not from the Word of God, but it gives us an idea, right, of who we are. So what are the characteristics of this worker? Active participation in ministry. A servant's heart. Okay, I know we're all sitting here, check, check, right? Kingdom-mindedness. Maybe that's where we can work on, focusing. You know, sometimes we can get caught up and just focus on the ministry or the church, right? But we need to be kingdom thinking. And we have to focus that the mission is the kingdom of God, it's the glorification, glory of God and all we do, and the glory and the advancement of the gospel. You know, Luke 10:2 says, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field. So when we go call to harvest, where do we start first? With prayer, right? We all should pray. It was funny last night. Cindy was like, there's a whole lot of prayer that went in last night. Yeah, I'm glad, right? Because that's where it should be. So that's the characteristics. So we see the individual that is servant-minded or has a servant heart, and he or she wants active participation, and they do have that kingdom thinking. That's not about them. That's the moment to where you really start incorporating into the ministry. Serve here, serve here, serve here, serve here. Because here, I'm still working out some of the I's. I did this, or I've worked so hard. Right? But as Jesus sends them out two by two on these missions, those I's fade, right? And I love this because here it's just watching. If I ask a question here today, and it's a question you probably know an answer to, it's still going to be crickets until someone gets the boldness and bravery to speak up and say, to risk maybe saying the wrong answer, right? But it always becomes crickets first. So while we're learning, while we're being spectators, it is often quiet. But while they're working in the harvest field and they're on the mission, could you imagine the questions the disciples had? Jesus, you did this then, but how? Why? What? You see what I'm saying? Think about those deep, intimate conversations that Jesus had off the record with his disciples. man, Peter, you really hate Samaritans that much? I love them. What, Jesus? I love them all. Right? And so think about that, challenging that cultural bias inside maybe Peter or most of the disciples that weren't, that were Jewish people. So Jesus calls workers, think about this, to pray. Pray to the Lord of the harvest. God, show me the individual. Help me understand what individual you're putting in my path today. Help me reach out to that individual. Identify that individual. Pray. Then go. Don't pray to God, say, show me an individual, and then you're like, I don't have time. That makes no sense. So if you're going to pray for an individual, then you need to go. And let's say you misheard, because sometimes we do. Sometimes I think, God said this, and I felt like God put this on my heart, and I was totally wrong. Paul wanted to go to Asia beforehand, and the Holy Spirit changed the path, right? But at least you went out in faith that you're going to an individual. And through that, stepping out and going, then God will still show you, no, you were wrong here. This is the individual, right? And I love this analogy. You know, we have a bottle of water, like several, and you're walking amongst the homeless on a hot day in a city. And you're not, I mean, my mentor told me, he's like, what are you going to do? You're going to give the homeless person the water? I was like, yeah, I got six of them. He's like, you're wrong. I was like, what? I gave a homeless person that's on a hot day water. He's like, did you even pray about before you went out? No, it was all about me looking good, handing out those waters. I did something good. But he's like, what if you prayed? And he says, no, that maybe this individual that you're about to hand this water to was called to Mike, and Mike needs to step up, and he needs to go out, and he needs to minister the gospel, because there's going to be power in this, and this is going to be much more than handing water out. This is going to be salvation. I was like, dang, man, it was just water. You know? Like, but he's like, it's living water. Don't treat their temporary needs for this thirst they have for physical water, but make sure you pray up and know that who you're going to for the living water. What? I was there. I was like, I'm just a spectator at this point. I was just handing water out because I wanted to feel good about me. That's the only reason. Does that make sense? So we need to pray for more workers too. And we need to go where he sends us. In Luke 10:3, it says, go, I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. He might send you out to an area that does not look like you. He might have you downtown Columbus where there's a funeral home on every corner to share gospels. Why? Because it's needed. When there's liquor, funeral home, there's something up. Something ain't right. And that's big cities. Or when you walk downtown Portland and at 4 in the morning, you see a sea of bodies laying on the sidewalk, and at 5:30 the police come in and say you got to go somewhere else, and it cleans up like a perfect city. But from the midnight hours till wee hours in the morning, it's bodies laying because they have no place to stay. And I was at a residency. And this is when I smoked cigarettes. I was outside smoking my cigarette. And I had one guy that came up homeless. I tell he's mentally not there. But he was talking about the Word of God. And the things he was saying, I was like, he's on point. He's right. But then what caught my eye was this little boy. Maybe Brody's age. Maybe a little younger. There's a little girl, little sister. He grabbed the hand and he's walking with her. Wee hours in the morning. Walking, and I followed to see where they're going, and he was leading his little sister to the community kitchen. It was right down the corner, so they get first in line. What? So it's not only adults that's sitting there, it's kids are impacted by this. But somehow the systems miss these individuals. So the harvest is plentiful. And he's calling us out. Is he calling you out to go amongst the homeless population? Is he calling you out to go to the prison population? Or is he calling you out to go into the pharisaical nature of your own small town? But someone's got to step up and challenge the system that's been established for the sake of the gospel. So, one, people here today, I'd say discover your spiritual gifts. We've discovered those. Now learn to apply those. Find opportunities to serve. This is people watching future. Find opportunities to serve. There's so much power in just making sure a coffee table set up for individuals. Or standing there and saying, how's your night? What'd you think about tonight? What'd you get from tonight? What touched you? Or what are you struggling with? You don't have to be an addict to help an addict. You have to be willing to work a harvest, right? But the other part, too, is for us is training and leadership. We have to grow as leaders in a ministry. We have to grow as leaders of a Christian community. And so that's where we have to, like, look for guidance. We have to look for training opportunities, but we have to give encouragement to each other. You know, last night, like, I'm not the best. I'm so busy. But to sit down and slow down and say, hey, look, last night, I really appreciate you all. We need to do that more often, right? And so I see comments, and I went through last night and I commented, and that was not just to be for show. I could care less what other people on Facebook saw that comment. That was for you to see. That was for Don to say, hey, look what John said. He appreciates us. Because we do, wholeheartedly. You're not just a number. You're not just a body. We're family serving together, right? But we always need to grow as leaders. I feel like deacons or board members or whatever it is, they have to push themselves outside of the church to grow. Take leadership classes. Learn how to lead. Learn how to work with people. Learn how to grow as a man or a woman, right? So my challenge for you all today as we close. Are you laboring in the harvest? If this wasn't here, would you be laboring in the harvest at all? Or would we just be sitting back in the spectator role and getting disgruntled and frustrated when people don't allow you in a position because you're not there? See what I'm saying? And so, or are you at a church that you've been thrown into this position really quick and you shouldn't even be in that position? Because you're still just a babe in Christ. You should be nurtured, diaper changed, hand-holding, walking, bottles. But there's a great need for laborers here today. And we're charged to accept this, to go. Because we didn't accept Christ just to sit around, right? Let's pray. Father, Lord, just thank you so much for today. Thank you for the word. Thank you for the reminder that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few, Father. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for him showing his mission, his message, and his models, his methods and models too. Father, help us role model after Jesus' words, but after his actions and the way he presented himself to the disciples, Father. Father, just thank you for salvation. Thank you for that mercy and grace and the works of the cross, Father. Thank you for the opportunity to go from seekers, potentially damned for eternity, to believers and to have eternity with you, Father. Thank you for allowing us to sit back and to learn and grow. But Father, there's a time where you call us to go. Help us be brave, bold, and courageous to go and to pray to you to show us where you need us to go. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.